Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. I have another awesome guest here with us this week, and it is one of my good Instagram friends. Erin and I feel like we've been friends for like a year or two Instagram, and we have written on each other's blogs, and we've done Facebook Lives together and all that kind of fun stuff. So I knew that I had to have her on the podcast because she is just really a well-rounded woman and writer, and her blog is a little bit of budgeting, a little bit of minimalism, and a lot of homesteading and a lot of fun stuff like that. So I knew I had to have her on here to talk to you guys. So Erin, if you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself and about your blog and everything that you do.
Yeah, well, hello everybody. I'm so excited. Thank you, Sammy, for inviting me onto the podcast.
Yes.
My name is Erin Tannehill of the Tannehill Homestead, and I started my journey really in 2015 when I came across minimalism. And right at the time that I found minimalism and I started decluttering everything, my husband and I decided that we were going to downsize our home and buy some property so that we could start our homestead journey. And so we went from about 1400 square feet down to 600 square feet. So I really had to get rid of a lot of stuff. Like, it was very intentional, very purposeful, and very quickly done. And through all of that, what was really awesome is that not only did I declutter a lot, but I learned how to be intentional with a lot of different things in my life. And when I kind of put homesteading into the mix, I was very intentional with, you know, we're going to take it one step at a time. We're not going to do all of this, just throwing it all in at one time to be overwhelmed with it and then decide, okay, this is not for us, and move all away from it. I wanted to be very intentional with this part of my journey. And so that is also why I started the Tannehill Homestead, is because I wanted to document how I was doing it. And in the process, I learned that I could help other people do the same thing, to live a simpler lifestyle, to do it in a slower way, and not really just jump into, oh, I'm going to be completely this lifestyle or completely that lifestyle and do it all at once. And like I said, well, you know, just quit.
Yeah. So I just like how you have kind of tied everything in together. And I think that's why I was so like, just attracted to your Instagram and your blog and everything that you do, is just because you bring in all the aspects, which is kind of a lot of what I do. Like, I don't talk just about money all day long, and you're kind of the same way. Like, you don't talk just about minimalism or just about your chickens. Like, you kind of have a, you know, well-rounded, which is, you know, realistic. And so I've always really liked your style of writing and everything that you share. And I know that recently you've kind of gotten more into the minimalism side and like the decluttering. And I know that you've been, you know, you've done challenges, and we're going to talk about a really fun challenge that you have coming up towards the end and how everyone can get signed up for that. But what I really wanted to have you on here today was to talk about more of the homesteading aspect. That's not something that I'm really familiar with, and it's not something that I'm really good at. So I wanted to kind of get some of your expertise. So for anyone that isn't really familiar with homesteading, like what exactly is homesteading for us rookie homesteaders?
For me, what it means is to get back to the basics. So growing your own food, whether that is just a couple of pots on a patio because you don't have any more space than that, or an entire acre dedicated to a garden and multiple animals. It's really just about being intentional and knowing where your food comes from. If you can't source it yourself, source it locally through another farmer. And then also, too, when it comes to the things that you use on your homestead, to be very intentional about that. Don't, you know, use all the paper towel roll just because you spilled a mess type thing. Like, instead of using wasteful things, you use things that are reusable, recyclable, and things like that. So really getting back to basically how our ancestors grew up. No matter what scale you can do it on, anybody can do it.
Yeah, and I've watched a lot of your videos and your Insta stories and stuff, and when you're decluttering, and, you know, it's a lot more of like using, you know, reusing like jars and, you know, little like simple things like that, reusing things when you can, not having, you know, like you said, paper towels and throwaway plates and like all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of, I feel like homesteading is like, my interpretation of it is somewhere between like a mixture between it's environmentally friendly and like farming had a baby. Like that's what it's like. Yes. It's like mixed together. And so it's, I think it's really interesting. And I love how you talk about how homesteading and being and more environmentally friendly can actually save you money. And I know like you guys have been through your own budgeting journey and all of your financial goals and things that you guys have, and how this has all kind of helped you guys on that journey as well. So I would love for you to share with everyone some of your favorite tips on how this can actually save people money.
Well, the first thing for me was to switch all of my single use options that I had to reusable options. So switching from paper towels to cloth napkins, or switching out your cotton pads or cotton rounds to reusable cotton rounds, that not only are you saving money, like right. For instance, when we switched our paper towels to cloth napkins, I went from buying the big bulk thing like you can get from Sam's or something like that, buying that every 6 months, to maybe buying that every 18 to 24 months. And the only reason that I honestly use paper towels is because I live in the South and we love fried food.
Yeah. We do. Like I'm not as bad as I used to be, but when we were still in debt, like when we were in the beginning of our debt-free journey, we had like a standing joke in my family and friends group, because at the time we had the biggest house, and still, even now that we have a small house, everyone seems to flock to our house for family dinners, and everyone would be like, does Sammy know that you're using that many paper towels? And that was like the standing joke, was like, no one was allowed to wash their hands with paper towels. Paper towels had like specific use just to eat with. Mm-hmm. And now I've slacked a little bit, but I still, like, I hardly clean with paper towels. If we use them, we use them for napkins, and because their paper towels are cheaper than napkins, and like that's it. I'm still really strict on like, don't you clean up the floor with paper towels, you can use a towel. You're wasting money. And like, yes. How much toilet paper everyone uses. And I'm still like, I guess that's still like that PTSD of being like super on a super, super strict budget, but that kind of stuff adds up. And I think, yes. You know, when you're first getting started, it might seem silly, like, oh, it's only a few dollars, but you know, you do only a few dollars 10 or 20 times and you've added up to significant savings, and plus you're being good to the environment as you go along. So it's a win-win. Yes. So what are some of your other favorite tips? I interrupted you. My paper towels. You're fine.
It's always a good story when paper towels are involved. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So another thing I do is I like to use vinegar and water for cleaning, yes. Which not only saves you a lot of space, but it saves you so much money, because conventional products, like, you know, you have a window cleaner, then you have a tile cleaner, and you have all these different cleaners that cost a lot of money, but mm-hmm. all you have to do is use something as simple as vinegar and water. And not only does vinegar and water replace that, it replaces fabric softeners, mm-hmm. and it can even replace bleach in some certain circumstances, depending on how you use bleach. But making a switch like that, or one of my favorite things that I have done is I have, instead of buying new clothes, is I start thrift shopping, or I get on a secondhand online shop, because not going to purchase new things is also great for the environment, but it also saves you a ton of money. So that's like one of my go-to deals. I don't buy new shoes. I don't buy new shirts. I love thrift shopping. I guess which that can go into a whole
total different podcast episode.
But those are some of my favorite tips, is just getting back to the basics of what you have and what you use. And then when it comes to something like skincare, you can use apple cider vinegar as a toner. You can use coconut oil as a face wash and a moisturizer.
Basically,
the more basic you get, the easier it is to save money.
Yes, I used that apple cider vinegar. Do you remember when you recommended that for like dry scalp or something like that? Do you remember that? That's been a while ago. So I had never tried it, and my girls, like, I don't know, they had this like buildup in their hair. That's probably TMI, but they had like their, like the oil like builds up in their hair, and they just, they're terrible at letting me scrub. And so you recommended apple cider vinegar, and I was like, I've never tried that. And I tried it, and it was like magic. It was so amazing to their little baby scalps. And I was just like, oh wow, that was awesome. Like, I probably would have spent a ton of money on a really fancy shampoo when I already had apple cider vinegar anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just like, it's stuff like that. I think it's really being intentional and kind of not being afraid to like think outside the box on kind of some things, and not just, you know, go to the grocery store and grab every single product on the shelf. Like, look up, you know, what you could do if you're not sure. Look up home remedies. And I mean, we have Pinterest these days. And there's so many blogs, like your blog has so many helpful things like that, resources and, you know, recipes and recommendations and all this stuff for things like that, that people like me just don't know. So it's always really helpful. But one of the other tips that you had mentioned, which is one of my favorites, and it's something that I'm always preaching, is reusable bottles, like reusable cups instead of water bottles. And I used to not be on board with that. Like, if the water didn't come out of an Aquafina bottle, I was not drinking it. Like, I used to, and then I realized that's so wasteful for the plastic. It's so expensive. And so we bought a Brita filter, and we just filter our sink water. We keep it in the fridge so it's nice and cold. And I have my water cup with me at all hours of the day. And that I did the math on it one time, and I can't even remember, but it was an insane amount of money, especially if you drink a recommended amount of water, it really adds up.
And one thing I love about using the Brita pitchers, and I don't know if you know this or not, but Brita actually recycles their filters that you swap out.
No, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So you can actually ship it back to them. They'll recycle it.
Wow.
So it's actually, even though it's still plastic, my Brita water pitcher is plastic, but when I'm sending them back, I'm not sending anything to the landfill.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that.
Really imagine.
Well, now I have to figure out, now I have to do that, because I've just been throwing them away because I didn't know you could do that. That's amazing. See, you're just full of so much little helpful things that people like me don't know. That's so awesome. Yeah. So what are some of your tips for more of like energy efficient type things like that that can help us?
The first thing I would suggest is the more insulation you have in your home, the better. And what I mean by that is have thicker curtains over your windows. If you don't like curtains, have nicer blinds, the thicker faux wood blinds over that to help not let the heat out or
let the sun in.
Whatever. So that's one way to do it. Another way is to make sure to caulk all your windows and things like that, all the different cracks. That saves so much money. And one of the things that I love doing is switching out all of my air filters on a regular basis. We have window units where I am now because how we're living is temporary. So I told my husband we weren't spending a ton of money on our HVAC system. So we have two window units. And what I love about them is that they have lights that come on that says, hey, you need to clean your filter so that you're always running energy efficient. But you can do things like switching out your light bulbs for higher quality ones, whether it's LED or getting the compact fluorescent light bulbs instead of the cheap, inexpensive ones. Those actually, I learned this past week, are only made to burn 2 hours a day. And think about it. If you're home all hours of the day and you're burning 8 hours of that bulb, it's actually going to kill the life expectancy of it even quicker. Wow. So that makes a huge difference. And then something as simple as turning your water off whenever you're brushing your teeth, that saves so much water. It's unreal. If you turn off your water while you're brushing your teeth, you can save about $37.80 per person per year, which is 2,600 gallons of water per year.
Yeah, that's crazy. And when you're in a good sized family like us, especially, our girls have to use twice as much as that because they literally, like, they turn the water on before they even get their toothbrush out of the jar. Like, they're just, the water's just running all the time. And I'm just like, turn the water off. So, I mean, that probably could save our family over $100 a year right there. It was crazy.
Yes.
I also want to link in the show notes, you have a really super helpful blog that I was actually reading through earlier called 30 Ways to Save Money on Your Utilities. And I'm going to link to that in the show notes. I mean, we could get into that, but this would be like a 2 or 3 hour long podcast and we value everyone's time more than that. But I'll definitely link to that in the show notes because there are a lot of really helpful tips in there that were helpful to me and I've been doing this for a while. So yeah, check out that blog for sure. What else? What are some other tips?
All right. So going back to making sustainable swaps, that will also save you money as well as the environment is getting away from any kind of plastic that you can, whether it's plastic straws, plastic water bottles. But one thing that I do personally is I like to carry around stainless steel straws with me. Mm-hmm. That way I can opt when I go to places and I say no thank you to the straw. It's not like it's a big thing, but it's something that adds up over time. Mm-hmm. And then like you said earlier, switching from plastic water bottles to reusable water bottles, that also goes the same for your coffee in the morning. And you know, if you drink tea or anything like that, you want to use reusable as much as possible. But one thing, I have a really random tip that you don't know about yet.
Tell me, I have to know now.
It's one of my favorite homesteading things that I like to do. And that is when I don't have coffee at home and I have to go to the store to buy coffee, I actually get those Starbucks glass coffees because you can wash them and remove the label. And I spray paint the lid white, throw in a little Epsom salt mixed with a couple of essential oils, and you have a scrub or a foot soak. Oh. And it makes the perfect gift. So you might think, yeah, that's a $3 Starbucks drink, but really you can take that glass bottle and repurpose it, turning it into a gift.
Which is what I do with my spaghetti jars. I save like all the spaghetti sauce jars, all of my like salsa jars. I used to have, in our big house, I used to have an entire cabinet of just jars that I was like waiting to reuse for something. But, you know, I don't have that much storage space now, but you got to get experimental with this and have fun with it.
Yes, I completely agree. And, you know, I actually took, and that was my Mother's Day gift one year, was just all different kinds of foot scrubs and lotions and stuff like that. And I think that she enjoyed that so much more than me going and buying a conventional product that didn't make it seem like I thought about it. Thought about her as much. And so while you're trying to be more responsible, you know, environmentally friendly, and just being just the homesteading principle of going back to the basics, it also can create a more thoughtful perception when you are talking with others or gifting to others. And that goes a really long ways in building friendships and relationships too.
Exactly. And I think that really ties into the whole like minimalism and intentional living all as one, because you're being so intentional with, you know, how much money you're spending, how environmentally friendly the item is, how useful it is on the minimalism side, how thoughtful it is to the person you're giving it to. Like, it's just a little nice little package of intentional living all right there. And so I think that's really the root of all of it, is just being intentional with everything that you're doing. And that can help you in so many different aspects. So yeah, it's a lot of good tips. What else? Do you have any other ones?
So I don't know if you or your audience has heard of the principles of repurpose, reuse, recycle, or replace. But when it comes to things that need to be renewed, you say, for instance, get a hole in your shirt. Well, don't just toss that shirt out. Take a little bit of time and fix it, mend it if possible. And if you don't mend it, you know, maybe you can take it to your tailor and have them mend it. But it's better to fix than it is to buy new, because not only are you using more resources because you're having to buy new products, you're also spending more money, which is not budget friendly.
Right.
Same thing goes for furniture or any appliances that, you know, just have a simple fix. Fix them. Take the time to put into it and save that money that you would have spent on a new appliance and just fix it. Yeah. I feel like our society has become basically fast food's taken over. We have a fast food type mentality in our society where we think, oh, it's just broken, I'll just go buy a new one. And that's not sustainable. It's not saving your pocketbook. And it's just wasteful, to be honest.
Yeah. Like last year, we hadn't been in this house very long, and the heating element in our oven went out. And my first thought was the whole oven is shot. It was like a $20 piece. It was like not even a big deal. And my first thought was, oh, we got to get a new oven, you know, and it wasn't even that big of a deal. And there's so many, you know, that happens so often, you know, like your computer has a little glitch in it and you're like, oh, new computer, yes. You know, when you could just take it to a repair place and it's going to be cheaper anyway to do it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just kind of like rewiring your brain again to be like that. I liked another one of your tips. Where was? Oh, it was about if you can't fix the shirt, you know, use it for like cleaning rags or something like that. I think that's such a good tip. I've seen people do that. I feel like that's like getting back to like the basics. Like that's my grandparents do that. Something that like our generation might not think to do. But that.
Yeah, I will tell you, I do that. I take some of my husband's shirts that have seen better days that he just doesn't want to part with, and I'll take and make them shop rags. But another thing I like to do is when it comes to my bath towels and washcloths and things like that, I like to have really nice ones. I want them to be nice and fluffy. So when they have gone beyond their days of nice and fluffy, they turn into a cleaning rag. And so they have a second life. And then when they get done being my cleaning rag, then they're going to go out to the shop and be my husband's rag to do whatever he wants. So it's being intentional like that. Just because something has seen better days doesn't mean that its life is up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have all of our different piles. Like we have our kitchen rags and we have our cleaning inside the house rags, our cleaning outside the house rags, our washing the vehicles rags. Like we have all of our little stacks of the rags, and they kind of go through the life cycle of towels.
Yes.
Yeah. You can use them until they're falling apart. You might as well get your money's worth out of them.
And we do the same thing with our blankets. We have some blankets that aren't sentimental that are gifted to us, you know, because somebody feels like they have to gift us something. And so when we feel like, okay, we're done with this blanket, you know, we have a couple of dogs. And so we just put them in their kennel and let them use them up until the life is completely used out of them. So it's really getting intentional about and creative, really, and all the different ways that you can use something. For instance, a food way that you can change something, oatmeal that's expired. Just because it's expired on the shelf life doesn't mean that you can't turn that into a beauty product. You can take and grind it up and make it a hair mask or a scrub. So just get creative and have fun with all these different things. There's no right or wrong to reusing things, but there is a wrong to a little bitty something being wrong with something and then just tossing it for something new.
Yeah, I think that's really... that's really helpful. And I think it's like, if you don't know, in a lot of cases, we don't know. And we're just like, I don't have time to, you know, worry about it. But with the age that we live in, you can literally just Google it real quick, do a Pinterest search real quick, a YouTube search real quick, and be like, you know, search, what can I use expired oatmeal for? And I'm sure that you will find like 100 things really easily that could be helpful, you know, or how can I repurpose this item, and you're going to find things that are going to be helpful. I was going to say, on the topic of reusing the blankets, I know back when we used to do auctions, there would be, it was, you know, obviously it's really hard to resell linens, and especially like from an auction, like they've been in storage. You don't really want to just use like someone else's old blanket. Like that's really hard to sell. So we would usually sell them by like the trash bag full. And there were a lot of people who would buy them and, like you said, use them for their dogs, or we would donate them to animal shelters, mm-hmm. and they always need them. Mm-hmm. So if you're like getting rid of things, look for a useful way to get rid of them, so you're not just throwing them away, especially on the minimalism side, because you don't want to keep things just because you're like, oh, I don't want to put this in a landfill, and then it's cluttering up your house. So try to find, you know, something useful that you can do with it, or resell it or something like that. But I think that's really helpful. Oh goodness, we've covered so much so quickly.
Oh my gosh, I think I could go on day and day and day about tips. But okay, let me give you just some pretty basic stuff.
Okay.
Turn off the lights when you're not in the room. Yeah. Mythbusters did an episode several years ago, and did you know that if you flick on the light and flick it off and flick it back on again, you save money? That little flick off saves you money.
See, I would think that turning them on and off would cost you more because of like the, you know, like the spark of the electricity or something. Like it's that would just be, enough. That would just mm-hmm. be my first thought.
Yeah. That's why they tested it. They thought, oh, well, flicking on and off the switch will do something. And it doesn't. It, no matter what, as long as the light is off, you're saving money. Another thing, live with your house a little bit cooler in the wintertime. Cozy up with a blanket. Cozy up with your significant other.
I literally have two pairs of socks and a blanket on right now.
And in the summertime, turn up the air a little bit. Take off a little bit of clothes. You know, put on some shorts and a tank top and go around your house. There's no reason that you should have to be comfortable in just being clothed. It doesn't hurt to layer up. It doesn't hurt to take a little bit off. You're in your home, and that's going to save you so much money in the winter time too. Also, if you have like a wood burning stove or a way to heat your place without electric bill or a gas bill, do that. We do that all winter long, and I cannot tell you how much money I save. I save over $50 every month because of that.
That adds up. Yeah.
Okay. Another simple tip. Plug unused appliances. Did you know that you could actually reduce your electric bill by 30% if you just leave your microwave unplugged whenever you're not?
Mm-hmm. I've always wondered if that's like a myth.
No, it's not a myth. I have tested it, and there is a huge difference in the electric bill. For one, I don't know what it is about the microwave. The microwave is just pulling, but the clock that usually resides in the appliance pulls all the time, regardless if you have it programmed or not. So.
Wow. What about like your TV? Like if you just leave it plugged in, does that pull electricity if it doesn't have like a clock or something?
Yes, because a TV, or at least most TVs today, like mine has a light that's on the front of it. If there's any type of light or any digital thing that you can see whatsoever, it's pulling energy. If you have a power strip, unplug the power strip from the wall when you're not using it, because turning off the little switch doesn't stop pulling electricity, because your power surge is sitting there, and if you leave it plugged out, it's like, okay, is it searching for electricity? Is it gonna want to pull electricity? So unplug it from the wall.
Well, now I have to go unplug a bunch of things,
right?
One of the things that I'm really bad about, and I know that it costs me money, and I know that it's not good to do, and I still do it, is I fall asleep with the TV on. And I know that the TV has a timer, and I'm like too lazy to set it half of the time. And then I'm asleep for like 3 hours with the TV on. And I'm like, I wake up and I'm like, why did you do this again? Like set the timer so the TV will go off. You're just wasting all that electricity. But I mean, especially if like someone is just starting out on their budgeting journey, I hear all the time, it's like, there are no extra dollars. Well, you know, there are so many little ways that you could find $20, $50 a month just by doing all of these little things and letting them add up. Mm-hmm. And that money can go towards whatever your goal is. So there are little ways, and yeah, some of them are going to be little, like unplugging your microwave, you know, it's not going to save you like $500 a month, but it will add up. And you know, you do that 20 times, it'd be really helpful.
I will say we started out really slow with all of these different transitions. And in the beginning, I was wondering how much of a difference is this really going to make? Mm-hmm. But now that I have been extremely intentional for the past 3 years about the things I spend money on, the things I reuse and repurpose, replacing things with reusable items. I don't know the exact dollar amount that I save, but I can tell you that my paycheck goes much further every month than it used to. And not only that, I've noticed that we only take about 3/4 of the trash out to the end of the road that we used to, which we still have some room for improvement there, but these simple swaps are making an impact in more ways than one. The best part being the budget, but the second part also helping out the environment.
Yeah, it just makes me sick to my stomach to throw trash away. And it's just, I feel like it just adds up and adds up and adds up. And now that we're like in town, we really have to like throw everything away. Cause we used to be like, we've never had a compost pile, which is something I've always wanted to do, but I've never done it. So you're going to have to teach me how to do that when I have an actual yard, more than just like this tiny little in-town yard that we have. That's something that I really, really want to do. I'm not going to make you teach us about composting today, because that would probably be like a whole nother podcast.
Well, I could give you a simple tip if you want. Okay. A simple way to compost. Yes, in a little space. Number one, you can take your leftover scraps and paper products to a local farmer that mm-hmm. actually composts, so you're not throwing it away in the landfill. Or if you have just a little bitty piece in your yard, all you have to do is throw out your scraps and then throw like a little leaves on them or a little paper and stuff like that and layer it back and forth. It doesn't have to be a big area. It can be a little area, but just doing something as simple as that, because my husband and I, we honestly don't have a lot to compost. We try really hard not to have leftovers.
Yeah.
Of course, there's cuttings off the scraps, like the ends of carrots and things like that, but the compost pile that we do have is not very big at all, just because we're so intentional about how we use up our food and all of our paper products and things like that.
Okay, that's helpful. So it doesn't have to be like a huge, because I know like we have this community farm that's in our area, and they have like, it's ginormous compost piles, and like they have to flip them with tractors and stuff. And I'm like, I don't have room to do that. That seems really overwhelming. Okay. So you can do like just a small area. That's helpful.
Yes.
Okay. All right. You're so helpful. I'm just going to have like, I just need to like ask you every single question ever.
I'm always here.
Yes. I'm just going to start messaging you every little question that I have. How much money will it save me if I unplug this thing? You'll just know.
Yes. I am your source.
Yes. Yes. One of the things that we did do that was really, really helpful was when we had our second daughter, when we were at the beginning of our budgeting journey, we did the cloth diapers. And that was like terrifying, but it saved us so much money. But then when we had Melanie and then they were both in diapers, I freaked out and I couldn't do it anymore. But I wish that I would have stayed with it. But that's another thing. Like if you're like us, like when we were really like every single dollar counted, cloth diapers helped. So that's another thing that people could do that will help them. Okay, so so tell us a little bit more about this challenge that we mentioned earlier that you have coming up in February and how everyone can get on the waiting list for it.
So I have a declutter challenge coming up for the month of February where I am going to help you get your house clear of the clutter. We're going to get it tidy and I'm so excited about it. It's a spinoff of the first one I did 3 years ago where we look at the categories within our home versus just the spaces in our home. So we're really going to focus on different areas and really comb through everything. To get on the waiting list, you can go to thetanninghillhomestead.com/declutter-challenge, and I will have a sign-up form for you there. Of course, since the challenge doesn't start until February 2019, in the month of January, I'm going to have little things for you to do to help prepare you mentally to get ready. That way, whenever February comes around, you have no problems going through things and identifying what is excess in your life, what is taking up valuable real estate in your life, and getting rid of it.
Yeah, that's helpful. And we're going to put the link in the show notes as well, so you can go ahead and get on the waiting list, and all of your social media links for your, you know, Facebook, your Instagram, and all of that, so you can keep up with everything, and your blog and everything, because you have so many helpful tips. Like, seriously, we could sit here and do like a million podcast episodes of everything that you have. Really, really helpful stuff. So I'll be sure to link to all of that. Mm-hmm. So if you had to, I want to leave them with like a good little nugget of information. So if you had one piece of advice to give to someone who wanted to start homesteading in order to save money, or just one kind of takeaway, what would that be? What would be your number one piece of advice for them?
Start small. Start with one project, whether you're growing a couple of plants in pots that produce herbs or tomatoes, or if you want to look more at the sustainable side of homesteading, where it comes to replacing things like, again, we're going to keep going back to the paper towels and reusable cloths. Make a priority list for yourself. Start small. Don't bite off more than you can do. I mean, good golly, if you start with all of it at the same time, you're going to get overwhelmed and feel like you can't do it. And that's not healthy for anybody. So start small, tackle one thing at a time, become a pro at that, and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I like making the priority list, because I feel like when you get excited about something with, I mean, any goal at all, you start, like, a million ideas come in and you're like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and then you get overwhelmed, you get burnt out. So I think making a list, especially like if that's one of your New Year goals, or your goal for the next year, to do that and, you know, make a list and just kind of check them off one by one, so you don't get overwhelmed. And so you actually accomplish something and you actually stick with it. And that's any goal, even if it's not about homesteading or saving money, please do that. Because you definitely don't want to get overwhelmed or get burnt out. That's awesome. That's, you just shared so much. Like, I'm so glad that you came on and helped everyone and told us about your declutter challenge. I think that's going to be really helpful to a lot of people. And I'm also going to share, this is like tangent, but I'm also going to share in the show notes the review that you wrote of my course. For my course, you're one of my affiliates.
Yes.
For my course, I'm going to put that in there. It's such a good review. It's one of my favorites. And you also have a $10 off code if you go through your affiliate link. So if you're interested in my course and you've kind of wondered, you know, about it, and you want to hear about it from someone other than me, you can go and read Erin's review of it, and you can also get $10 off the course. It's, like I said, the review is so helpful. And it's just nice to hear it from someone else's perspective, I think, other than me just talking about myself over and over again. I think that's really helpful. All right, so I'm going to link to everything that we've mentioned in the show notes. And you guys, as always, remember to share and help spread the word. If you subscribe, if you haven't already, leave us a review, all of that good stuff. Erin, I appreciate you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Sue. We have had so much fun, and I hope that your listeners learned so much through all of this.
Yes, thank you. All right, guys, I will talk to you next week. Bye, guys.